This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's Health and Living. I'm Meera Sivasothi. In the studio with me, Dr. S. Silva, consultant, obstetrician and gynecologist. We are discussing laparoscopic surgery in gynecology. I think maybe, Dr. Silva, if you could go through some of the gynecological problems that laparoscopic surgery could possibly be a solution. In which areas do you think this is something we can opt for?
As I said, when we talk about gynecological diseases, it can be either benign or malignant, which means it's either cancerous or non-cancerous. Its use in non-cancerous lesions are very well known. We, as I said, you can do 95% of the diseases that are non-cancerous by laparoscopic surgery.
Why not cancerous lesions?
We can do cancerous as well. You must be very a highly advanced surgeon before you can do cancerous surgeries. I do cancerous surgeries as well. So let's stick to benign first, then we move on to cancers. Now, the common benign conditions that we do laparoscopic surgeries are growth in the uterus, which is what we call as fibroids, and cysts in the ovaries, which is very common. Different types of cysts. The commonest cyst that we see, especially in infertility, is called endometriosis, which is a chocolate cyst. And so these diseases of the ovaries and the uterus are the ones that we do all the time. Removal of the fibroids, we call it myomectomy, is a common operation performed laparoscopically. Of course, we can do it laparotomy, but with the benefits of laparoscopy, you can do it by laparoscopy. Cysts, we remove cysts, either the cyst wall, which is called cystectomy, or we remove the whole ovary, we call it oophorectomy. And if it is something that is causing the lady a lot of trouble, she has completed her family, we can do hysterectomy, which is removal of the uterus. These are common conditions that we perform laparoscopic surgery. Other simple surgeries such as tubal ligation, which means just a lady doesn't want to have any more children, we tie up the tubes. Ectopic pregnancies, which are pregnancies outside the uterus, usually in the fallopian tubes, this can easily be done by laparoscopic surgery. These are simple techniques. Sometimes we do laparoscopic surgery for diagnosis and treatment of infertility where the tubes are blocked or they are stuck to each other. We release, we call it adhesiolysis. These are conditions. Then we move on to malignant conditions, cancers. These are more advanced techniques. Say cancer of the endometrium, which is now becoming more and more common, which is the cancer of the inner lining of the uterus, which is the endometrial lining. We can do surgery to remove the uterus, and then we remove all the pelvic lymph nodes. And, of course, more advanced techniques are cancer of the cervix. We do something called radical hysterectomy by laparoscopy. And the most difficult ones are the cancer of the ovaries, which usually we do not do by laparoscopy, we do by laparotomy. So these are different diseases that we can treat by laparoscopy.
Okay. I'm just very curious, through a 5-millimeter incision, how do you take out the uterus?
Yeah, good question.
Because I'm sure the uterus is a lot bigger than...
I've got a whole chapter on this because this is the common question people ask me. How do you remove from a biggest 10 millimeter, you remove a 1 kilogram uterus,
yes,
for example? We got different techniques.
Or a fibroid for that matter.
We have different techniques. As I said, I've got a whole chapter in my book dedicated just for to educate the public as to how we remove tissues from the abdomen. This is one of the... not difficult technique, but tedious technique, because you have small incisions and you have to remove big tissues. So we have got various ways. For example, if you do a hysterectomy, we make a hole in the vagina because we detach the uterus from the vagina. So there's a big hole there. It's like delivering a baby, and we can remove the uterus through the vagina. However big it is, we can cut it into smaller pieces and take it out of the vagina, and then we stitch back the uterus, the vagina. Similarly, if you have a big fibroid and we can take it out by making a small hole behind the uterus, between the vagina. We call it a colpotomy, and we can take out this fibroid.
Well, thank goodness we have entry points.
Yes, that's right. It is called natural orifice. All right. So, but of course, sometimes we have situations where the lady is we call it Virgo intacta. Haven't had sex before. We can't take it out from the vagina. Then you can slightly enlarge the incision to, say, 15 millimeters, and we have got instruments called morcellators. They are instruments that cut the fibroids into smaller pieces and then take it out piecemeal through these small incisions.
Wow.
So they're tedious. It's tedious procedure. It's a lot of work, but we've got specialized motors that we can do this and take out this tissue. So So there are, of course, you know, we can put a man on the moon. It's nothing to remove a small, you know, a mass from the abdomen through a small incision. Not
impossible.
But it's not impossible.
Okay.
Yes.
And over the years, doing so many laparoscopic surgeries, what have you learned about how we react to these surgeries and how we, and our level of acceptance, that kind of thing, and the human behavior
this this is my interest in this kind of interviews, is to educate women on this particular topic, because there's a lot of misconception. People think that this is dangerous surgery, it's not clean. Whenever I introduce this to my patient, they say, "My doctor told me that this is not a clean surgery. How can you be clean when you put small incisions in the abdomen?" This is all misconceptions. That's what they say. It's not clean enough. You cannot remove tissues, you know, as well as if you do it by laparotomy.
Right.
I always tell them that it's actually cleaner than you do by open surgery. When you do an open surgery, you put your hands in, and then you do the surgery. Whereas here, I'm using fine instruments. I'm not putting my hand in. And after completing the surgery, everything is clean, meticulous. There's so much minimal blood loss during this surgery. These are all the advantages. So people are not educated about this laparoscopic surgery, and that's the reason why it is still not popular in this part of the world.
What about pain?
Yeah.
Obviously, is the pain less?
Much, much lesser than laparotomy. You see, when we do laparotomy, we open the abdomen in layers. There are 5 or 6 layers that we have to open one by one to get into the abdomen. And then we suture these layers one by one. So the pain factor is very high. In laparoscopic surgery, we just puncture a hole into the abdomen, do the procedure, and then we just put one stitch into that 10-millimeter trochlea. In fact, the 5-millimeter trochlea, we don't even stitch. To close it. So the patients are so, they don't need painkillers after the surgery, most of them, just maybe oral medication. And the next day, my patients, by evening, they're walking around, and the next day they're going back. And they had major surgeries like removal of the uterus.
Wow. Okay. And what about any other misconceptions?
Yeah. The other thing is, as you said, how can you remove a big tumor from this small incision? It's just inconceivable. This is another misconception, you see. So, and of course, the biggest question is, my doctor told me that it is dangerous and there's so much more complications when you do laparoscopic surgery when you're opposed to laparotomy. And I always tell them, if you're trained, your complication rate should be low. If there's so much complication rate, I won't be doing this for the last 24 years.
Mm-hmm. 24 years. How many have you done?
About 5,500 cases.
Okay, we're not asking you how skilled you are. 24 years is the benchmark, really. But what about risks? I'm sure there are risks involved.
Whenever I do this surgery, I tell my patients, I'm not telling them, I won't tell them that I can do this 100%. I tell them, I'll look in. If it looks very difficult, I may have to open it up.
And what do you mean by difficult?
It's difficult means the intestines are stuck to the uterus, it's stuck to everything, and it can be quite difficult to separate the intestines from the uterus, say the bladder from the uterus, say the ureter from the uterus. So I may have to open up to release them. Having said that, it can still be done by laparoscopic. As I said, in my hands, 95% to 98% of the time, it can be done. It's just that it is a little bit more difficult. The disadvantage, one of the disadvantages of laparoscopic surgery, is we don't have the tactile feeling of the hand.
Yes.
When you put your hands in, I can feel that this is one structure and this is the other. Here we don't. We look by eyes, and we have instruments going in, and we're using the instruments, we are trying to separate tissues one from another. So that I lose when I do laparoscopic surgery, but I benefit by magnification. I can go near and look. And in fact, now we do it by 3-dimensional laparoscopy.
Wow.
Which means that we can actually look at the structure in the abdomen in 3 dimensions. I have to wear glasses. My monitor, I can see it in 3D. So which I have the 3D effect as well, which is another benefit. So when you look at it, it depends on the skill of the doctor. If he has done this kind of surgeries before, he will be able to do it by laparoscopy.
Isn't it exhausting for you? I mean, it's harder work. Its concentration has to be, much higher.
That's the reason why many people don't want to do it. because it is much more difficult, because you are looking at a monitor all the time to do the surgery, as opposed to looking down into the abdomen to do the surgery. It's much more tiring. With 3D, it becomes a little better, because previously we were doing it in 2D, so you got to imagine the 3D structure inside on a 2D monitor. Mm-hmm. Now we have 3D, so we can actually see what we see with our eyes if you're looking it down the abdomen. So it is tiring, and because we are using fine instruments, we don't have the benefit of the hands, it takes a little longer. So these are things that makes people not wanting to do laparoscopic surgery. Okay.
And in going forward, do you wish that you can further fine-tune this process? I mean, 3D came out and it's made your life a lot easier. What else do you look forward to?
We look forward to hand instruments that can turn around and bend to make surgery easier. So these are things that these are the benefits of robotic surgery. You can make the instruments turn around and do surgery. So we're looking forward to having hand instruments that can move around, that makes life a little bit less tiring, as opposed to the instruments that we use now. We call it straight stick. They are long instruments that we do the surgeries.
Okay. So moving more towards the Da Vinci type of surgery. How would you define success?
To me, success means you have done the surgery that should be done by laparoscopy as you would have done it by laparotomy. Okay, so if I'm going in there to remove the uterus, I could have done it easily by laparotomy, but I have done it by laparoscopy. If I've successfully done it by laparoscopy without any injury, any complications, then it is a successful surgery.
Okay. And if you're tired, do you still go ahead and do it? because every little, it's focus, it's concentration.
True. That's true. That's the reason why we like to do the difficult cases early in the morning and get it over before moving on to the easier cases. Yes, you shouldn't be doing it when you're tired. Even if you're doing laparotomy, you shouldn't be doing it when you're tired. Mm-hmm. More so when you're doing laparoscopic surgery, because your concentration is tremendous. You're looking at fine instruments, using fine instruments to do the surgery. So if you're tired, don't do it.
Okay.
Or open up. Okay? But what I'm saying is, the women should be given the opportunity to be operated by laparoscopy. There are too many cases that are done by laparotomy, which actually can be done by laparoscopy if the doctor is skilled to do the procedure.
What are some questions we should be asking the obstetrician and gynecologist?
When an obstetrician, when you have a procedure to be done, say you have a cyst or a fibroid, and the doctor say that, okay, you need surgery, then how are you going to do it? Okay, you're going to do it by open. Can it be done by laparoscopy? He said, no, this cannot be done. Why not? Okay, if you don't want to do it, can you recommend me to somebody who can do it? It's not that all doctors are the same or all doctors' skills are the same. Even different procedures, some doctors have more skills because they have done certain procedures much more laparoscopically than other procedures. So what I want women to ask their doctors, that this, why can't it be done? And why don't you do it for me? If you can't, why can't you refer to somebody who can do it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you've written this book. It's a very thick book. I've had a look at it. Lots of pictures inside, some of which I don't want to look at. But anyway, it explains what's actually going on from your perspective. And it goes by the condition, the gynecological condition that women go through. Why should we actually get a copy of it?
Unfortunately, I couldn't persuade any Malaysian publishers to publish this book, so I self-published it.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to get it is to get it directly from me. And my webpage is called Malacca Fertility. I'm from Malacca, so it's Malacca Fertility. If you go to malaccafertility.com, you can send me an email. I can send it to you. So that's how you can get that book. And I am too busy to get it to in any of the bookstores. It's so exhaustive to go to publishers. So I just left it. I wrote the book to educate the public. If you're interested to know more about the book, go to my webpage and then send me an email. I'll send it to you.
Okay. And post-operative care, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Of course, it's probably less in terms of care after surgery because it's very minimally invasive. But what do we need to look out for?
Generally, after the surgery, it all depends on what type of surgery is done. If it is a minor surgery, most of the patients, by 1 week, they can be up and be able to doing everything that he can do. So if it's slightly major, so for example, a hysterectomy, my suggestion is always don't get back to work for a month. But by 1 week, you can do everything. You can even drive a car. You can, you know, do most of the things. But just like everything else, there can be problems. I usually tell them if you have a lot of bleeding pervaginally, which means that you're moving too much, and the incision that we placed at the head of the vagina, when we stitched them together, may be moving too much, and they may be bleeding, so you may have to come back. Infection is something that we worry about for any type of surgery. Laparoscopy has got very minimal adhesions because we don't put our hands in. We are not operating with our hands in the abdomen, and the wound is very small. Infections are less, but it can still happen. So if there's evidence of painful passing urine or discharge per vagina, then you should get back to the doctor to see whether there is any evidence of infection. So these are things that we look out for.
Okay. What about bathing, driving, you know, physical activity, sexual activity?
Okay. If the surgery is, it is not a hysterectomy, that means there's no incision in the vagina, then sexual activity you can resume when you feel well, which is usually 1, 2, 3 weeks. But if it's a hysterectomy, we have placed stitches in the vagina, we usually ask to abstain sex for 2 months for the whole vagina to heal well. General activities all depends on the type of surgery that we have done. If it is a surgery that is, doesn't involve a hysterectomy, generally by 1 to 2 weeks, you can do everything you want. You can go swimming, you can play games, there's no problem. But if it's a hysterectomy where there is incision in the vagina, I usually say you can go for a walk and do brisk walking, but not, and even if you want to swim, you can. But usually a month to two, don't do heavy jobs. So that's what we advise.
Don't carry stuff and all
that's
of
right.
that. Scarring is an issue?
Yes. The scars of a laparoscopic surgery is small. And usually people like it because sometimes you can't even see the scars. And we have now new techniques called single incision laparoscopic surgery. Only crazy people like me will be doing this kind of surgery because in one incision, which is usually buried in the umbilicus, about 2.5 centimeters, we try to do everything from in that incision.
Besides the one where the telescope goes in.
The telescope go inside there. The instruments also go into that.
In the
same hole. And we do surgeries. We do hysterectomies. We can do cystectomies. But this is cosmetic surgery. It's very popular in Korea where everyone likes single incision laparoscopic surgery where everything is done in a small incision buried in the umbilicus. It's very challenging for the surgeons, but it can be done. It can be done.
So the 10 millimeter incision.
It's not 10. It's slightly bigger. about 25 millimeters.
Because
about
two, it's through the umbilical.
Through the umbilicus, because it's buried in the umbilicus, you can't see the incision.
Okay.
So so scarring is a very small. The biggest scar will be 10 millimeters. Most of the time, we place this incision in the umbilicus, so you can't see it. The other three incisions are 5 millimeters, and we give anti-scarring medication to try and reduce the amount of scar. So basically, by 3-4 months, you can't even see any scar in the abdomen.
Okay, so you are Superman who does single-port laparoscopic surgery.
Yeah, that is a passion. I like to push my limit to go beyond what is being done. This is the latest advances to do single port laparoscopic surgery, but it's not for everybody. You know, if you have a 1 kilogram uterus, you're not going to try and do it by single incision. But if you have a small uterus, small cyst, yes, I do laparoscopic surgery. I probably have done the 300 single incision laparoscopic surgery, but it's not for everyone.
Okay. What do you look forward to in the future as far as this field is concerned? 24 years and counting. Are you getting bored?
No. What I am trying to do now is to train more doctors to do this surgery. I have a fellowship program where doctors come to my center to learn laparoscopic surgery. I want more and more gynecologists to take up this laparoscopic surgery. But having done this for the last 24 years, I find the uptake in this country is very slow. There are many reasons for it. If you ask me the reasons, I'll tell you.
Yes, go ahead. I was going to ask you anyway.
Yeah, the uptake is very small as opposed to other countries. And I travel very often regionally. I go to Taiwan, China, Singapore, Thailand. And in these countries, this has taken up. This has actually taken up very much. A lot of doctors are doing laparoscopic surgery. But unfortunately, in this country, it is not. I think the basic reason is that we are not paid enough to do this surgery.
I was just about to ask, actually.
Yeah. So, the reason is because the insurance companies do not pay us extra for doing laparoscopic surgery. If I do a procedure by laparotomy or I do it by laparoscopy, I get paid the same amount. So there's no incentive to do laparoscopic surgery. So this crazy fellows like me that passionate about laparoscopic surgery that we persist and do laparoscopic surgery. So we are still negotiating with the government to get the doctors paid a little bit more for laparoscopic surgery as opposed to laparotomy, but it's still not coming yet. That may be one of the reasons why it is not picked up very well. Because most obstetrician gynecologists are obstetricians who are busy delivering babies. Yeah. They've got no time to do gynecological surgery. It's not dedicated to their gynecology. So they just want to get the surgery done quickly and go back to delivering babies. That's another problem. That to do this kind of surgeries, you need to be dedicated. If you are skilled, you can do a surgery as fast as if you can do it by laparotomy. But if you're not skilled, you're going to take 2 to 3 times more. Your time is more, you get paid less. Then why am I trying to do this type of surgery? I might as well open up and tell the patient that this is not a good surgery.
Absolutely. So there you go. Laid out in front of you. But at least we know now that there is an option. So ask your doctor. I'll go through that list again. You can possibly opt for hysterectomy using this laparoscopic surgery, removal of ovaries, cysts, fibroids, endometriosis, adhesion removal, reversal of contraceptive surgery, as you said, tying the tubes. What about incontinence or a prolapsed uterus, for an example?
Yes. There are special surgeries that we do by laparoscopy. We call it sacrocolpopexy. It's a long term. Basically, what we are doing is we remove the uterus. Sometimes we don't remove the cervix, and then we stitch the cervix to the, we call it the sacral promontory, so that it doesn't drop down. So this is a special surgery that we do by laparoscopy.
Okay, so also an option.
Yes.
If you are interested in it. Fantastic. Would you have a message for us on laparoscopic surgery?
My message is the same. I think women should know that this surgery is there, it's available. There are many doctors who do it. So if you have to undergo a surgery, I would suggest that you ask your doctor whether he can do it by laparoscopy. If he doesn't, then go for a second opinion. Look for somebody who can do it get it done by laparoscopy.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Dr. S. Silva, consultant obstetrician and gynecologist, speaking to us about laparoscopic surgery in gynecology on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.